Hey, fantasy football owners, the road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Couldn't pay me enough to start Drake May. I wouldn't do it, and I wouldn't let anybody convince me otherwise. Here's my stance on this. If we're looking at it, the prism of Drake May, when it comes to his development, I've loved it. There's three things that rookie quarterbacks need to have success in the NFL. Good scheme and play caller, plus offensive line, plus skill. Alex Van Pelt, their offensive coordinator, I don't know a ton about. I like his scheme. I don't know a ton about him as a play caller. I think it's his first time, so I'm not making a judgment on that. They don't have plus offensive line, plus skill. Mm-hmm. There's no reason to play Drake May unless you have those three things. The Patriots have at least over two, if not over three.
That's Dan Orlovsky of ESPN. Okay, wait. First of all, Dan, Alex Van Pelt has called plays before because he did it here. Is that the only time, though? 2009, when he was the Bills offensive coordinator? Dan talking about Drake May there. Here's the thing that's interesting about that point, though. Which, I kind of said similar earlier that, like, I don't know how much... I think Drake May looks awesome. He looks great. But the reason I'm not really worried about him being in the Bills division is because I got no confidence in New England right now to do the right things around him that will maximize him and maximize their success in the coming years with him. I just don't trust them to do any of it. But the point there from Orlovsky is, well, you don't have all that right now. So you might as well wait. Might as well wait. You don't have the receivers. You don't have the play caller. You don't have the offensive line, which then in turn means you don't have the running game that could insulate him a little bit. You don't have it. Okay, I agree with that, but how long do you plan to wait? Do you think New England has all of that buttoned up by next year? Really? I don't. It's not impossible. They drafted two rookie wide receivers that could be nice. Javon Baker in the fourth round had a really nice spring and summer by most accounts. And Jalen Polk is talented. He's the guy that went right after Keon Coleman at receiver, like only a couple picks later. So, all right. Maybe. But, you know, it's a second and a fourth round pick. It's far from a sure thing. Far from a sure thing. You don't got the Hunter Henry's your tight end, like he's on the way out. I don't know. And your O-line needs to be rebuilt. You're doing all that by next season? Here, New England continues to attempt to get the star receiver to play with their quarterback, and they can't pull it off. They've been trying over and over and over, all the way back to when they tried to get Diggs from Minnesota. They couldn't get it. They couldn't get it done. Diggs would have rather played for Buffalo. They tried on who else? Did they try on Tyreek Hill? They certainly tried on Brandon Ayuk. That was out there, and it stopped. Why? Because Ayuk's like, I don't want to play New England. They tried to sign Allen Robinson a couple of years ago. They've tried over and over and over. They couldn't get anybody to take their money. So they better develop these receivers or else they're stuck because they're showing to be incapable of landing the top guy they need. And then coordinator, yeah, Alex Van Pelt, like, he has called plays before, but not somebody that inspires a lot of confidence in me. I mean, older coordinator for this little experience. I don't know. I got no problem with Alex Van Pelt. It's been a long time since he's been a play caller in the league. He does not inspire a lot of confidence in me. It's not this, ooh, look who the Patriots just hired. Oh, look at this guy. The Seahawks hired a coordinator from Washington, and he's older, but University of Washington, who does all these creative things and always keeps defenses on their toes. And I don't like Seattle's quarterback situation, but I feel like their offense might be okay because look, they got a play caller that might have some reason to believe. And why am I supposed to believe Alex Van Pelt is going to walk in and have the answers for his rookie quarterback? And what, he's going to be fired by next year? All is to say, I would just put him in now. What am I really waiting for? He's probably going to have to lift everything up around him at some point. The road to getting to where, like, the Bills got. The Bills, with Allen into his second and third year, got to maybe third and fourth year is better for this. Like, when Allen took the big step forward, they got to a point eventually where they had it all. They had it all for him. They had the right coordinator. Dable was the perfect coordinator for him. They had the receivers with Diggs and Brown and Sanders and Beasley. They had that. They had a good enough offensive line. Dawkins, Morse, right? You had at least a couple of stalwarts, and then you were piecing it together around that, but you were doing okay. Darrell Williams had a year or two there. So the offensive line was good enough. You had a great coordinator. You had great receivers. You had the right pieces around them. The Bills took that road and got to their destination for a few years. The Patriots aren't even on the road. They can't get the car started. They're sitting there in the driveway, and they're turning the key. It's not going. They can't get the car to start. So I don't know. What do? You put him in, and you hope he can push the car. I don't know. You're gonna wait the whole year. You got to get going on that. I think it's so, trying to force these theories, these reasons why, hey, this guy you just invested everything into, oh no, he shouldn't play for 2 years. Everyone wants their rookie quarterback to be Jordan Love. Everybody wants to believe that's how it works. Maybe because, like, your Dan Orlovsky's of the world, or your coaches that are on TV, right? Your Bill Cowers. Those are often the people you hear those opinions from. And maybe, why is that? That's the sport they grew up in. That was normal in the 90s, in the 80s, where you drafted a guy, he sat for a little bit. He learned. It's not worth it anymore. Get him in, let him learn on the job, get him the reps, and then you also get to finding out if he's good sooner rather than later. Mahomes gets held up as an example of, well, see, they waited a year. They waited a year, and then he threw 50 touchdowns in year two. As if it was a reason why he was so good was, well, he sat a year. You sure? Because thinking way back to that year, there were reports, and we had reporters on all the time on the station saying, while Alex Smith was having a great year, you heard, guys, you got to see the throws this Mahomes kid is making in practice. He's lighting it up in practice every day. Mahomes very well could have just played his rookie year and probably would have been awesome. Do I want to say probably? He would have been awesome in year one. Maybe he would have went further than Alex Smith took them. How come that never gets brought up? Put the guy in. Put the kid in. So glad we're not living that life anymore of debating. How many times did we have that debate? maybe only a couple. The Bills went a long time only drafting first-round quarterbacks a few times. EJ, who went in right away because of injuries, so maybe that debate didn't even last long. Lossman before that did wait. And then Allen. Allen goes right in game one because the guy they put in ahead of him was the worst quarterback in NFL history. That's the way to do it. Make sure the guy ahead of him is so bad that you have no choice but to turn to the rookie. That's what happened with Allen. How long would Allen have sat? If Peterman wasn't the worst quarterback in NFL history, how long would Allen have sat? The whole year? Half a year? No sense debating it now. 803-0550 is the phone number. Let's get back on track. Bills cut day tomorrow. 4 o'clock tomorrow. So the way this typically goes, if you're wondering about the mechanics of it and if you're going to be glued to the station all day, see what they end up doing. Generally, we do find out and kind of piece the list together as the day goes on because the way it goes, these guys will get called in. The Bills will have their meetings throughout tomorrow morning, I'm sure. And player A goes in, brings his playbook, has the talk with McDermott and Bean and whoever, and they shake hands. He walks out of the room, and what might he do? What do they often do? Go to Instagram and post, "Hey, Buffalo, thanks for the opportunity," right? You get a bunch of those. And then we find that out because now it's public domain. And then, all right, let's start the list. Who do they cut? Let's piece it together. Oh, they cut this guy, which means maybe good things for this guy. And then, you know, tomorrow we'll be piecing it together throughout the day. So while it's 4 o'clock and you don't even get it officially sometimes till after that, we might have a good idea of what they do before. Trade ideas. Backup quarterback. We have not really spent any time this morning yet on backup quarterback. 803-0550 if you've got a thought, because it's pretty tough to predict right now, I think. I don't know how interesting it is to you out there, but I'm a little interested in it. I'm always interested in who their backup quarterback is because, you know, Allen, knock on wood, healthiest quarterback in the league the last few years. At least he's missed the fewest games. He's missed any. But, you know, it happens sometimes. Allen's a truck. You hope it doesn't. But if you need a guy to get you through a couple of games, that can matter. And, you know, look at the Cowboys. Was it 2 years ago or 3 years ago? When Dak Prescott missed about a month. And they had to turn to their backup. And who kept them on track? It was Cooper Rush, who I didn't think anything of at the time. But Cooper Rush had to start 5 games in 2022, a year where the Cowboys went to the playoffs. 5 games in 2022. What was their final record that year, Dallas? Dallas went 12-5. 12-5. Didn't win their division, though, but they went 12-5. And Cooper Rush had to play 5 games, and he got them to 4-1. Managed the game, you know, didn't average a ton of, you know, about 200 yards a game. 1 touchdown pass per game. He was okay, but he wasn't losing them. He wasn't killing them, and that's what you want. That's all you want out of a backup. I mean, Cooper Rush 2 years ago for Dallas went 4-1. If a Bills backup had to play, you know, 5 games, I might take 2-3. Just don't go 0-5, right? Don't kill the season. 3-2 would be nice. 4-1 would be a dream, but I'm not expecting that. Rush, by the way, was someone I was thinking about for the Bills this weekend because Jerry Jones committed to Trey Lance. Lance is somebody the Bills made an offer on reportedly last summer to come in and be one of their backup quarterbacks, but the Cowboys outbid them. So they get Lance, the former number 3 overall pick. Jerry Jones this weekend says he's on the roster. Like, he's going to play the whole preseason game. He's on the roster. And I saw that and went, okay, so Lance, I created a list last week of like number 3 quarterbacks who could become available to the Bills. Lance was on that list for me. And I saw that quote from Jerry Jones and I took him off it because I thought, no, they're not. He just said it. They're not moving on from him. But if he's playing the whole preseason game, I wonder, if he has a great game, could Dallas... Are they looking for him to take the number two job and then only carry two and let Cooper Rush go? And suddenly I thought, oh, maybe Cooper Rush is an idea for the Bills. And then Trey Lance went out and had five interceptions. And that idea is over, right? Five interceptions, I doubt very highly he's going to be the number two now. So that's another one that's off the table. So that's what you want, though. You want a Cooper Rush. You want a guy that can just get you through a month and not have the season just end right then and there because you couldn't even win a game. And right now, the Bills have their room with Trubisky, Ben DiNucci, and Anthony Brown, two of which played on Saturday, and Trubisky is still dealing with his knee injury that we do not know how long he's out for. And predicting what they do is very difficult. They could do a couple of different things. They could keep Trubisky on the active roster and say, all right, you know what? This is going to be less than a month. We think we could get him back within the first couple of weeks. So we will roster him as our number two quarterback and as our only other quarterback to Josh Allen. But we're going to put DiNucci or Brown on the practice squad, and we're going to elevate them for the first three, four games as the backup from the practice squad until Trubisky comes back. They could do that. They could put Trubisky on IR and keep DiNucci on the active roster, or Brown, whoever. Brown, by the way, went 11 of 12 on Saturday, but he did come in after DiNucci. DiNucci did fine too. They could do that. They also could, they could either IR Trubisky or they could cut Trubisky and say, all right, you know what? Two things happened here. One, he got injured. I got a knee injury here. And it only cost me $700,000 in dead cap if I want to do something else. And if we're being honest, it's not just the injury. They could say this. I would say it. They could. It's not just the injury. Trubisky looked terrible. Terrible before that. Before the injury. He did not look good. We already were sitting here talking about backup quarterback. It just didn't maybe feel as real before he got injured. Or before we knew there was an injury. But man, that Steeler game especially. Just get the ball out of your hand, man. Come on. Open receivers. There was one play in the Pittsburgh game where Trubisky dropped back to pass. And one of his linemen missed a block. And his eyes, they were never downfield. Not for a second. They were always on the line. If he had just had his eyes downfield, yeah, he would have had to take a hit to make the throw. But Keon Coleman was standing by himself. They forgot to cover him on the right side of the field. Would have gone for 15, 20 yards. But he never even saw it. He never looked at it. Eyes were down. And there were a bunch of plays where he held on to the football. Just, I don't know. Not impressive to me at all. And it kind of goes in line with what he was in Pittsburgh last year. Just, if that's what I got to put in, Pittsburgh got to a point where they did what I'm saying. Like, Trubisky was the number two, and they said, isn't there a number three quarterback out there that's a better idea than this? Pittsburgh just already had the guy. They already had Mason Rudolph. So, that's the other idea. The other idea is, you just wash your hands of it. You say, all right, just didn't work. Didn't work. Injury plus poor play in the preseason, plus he was so bad last year for Pittsburgh. We don't need to keep this guy. Let's move on and let's see what quarterbacks come available. Let's see if Heinicke shakes loose in Atlanta. Let's see which Cleveland quarterback shakes loose, because one of them is going to. Watson's at the top, and there's reporting that they're trying to trade Dorian Thompson-Robinson. I guess he's the fourth string right now, but he was the backup last year for a time and has been dominant in the preseason. Preseason pledge, don't take that to mean too much. I guess that's an idea. They want to trade him. I don't think they're going to be able to. If not, I mean, if they like him enough to keep him, maybe Tyler Huntley becomes available. There's no way they're cutting Jameis Winston, but that would be a dream. CJ Beathard is someone that could shake loose in Jacksonville, and that's not a bad backup quarterback. He's kind of a lifer backup at this point in his career. That's idea number three, is you say, all right, we're going to kind of start over here at backup quarterback, because there's a good amount of ideas out there in the league that are pretty good ideas that also aren't, hey, let's go give Ryan Tannehill $8 million. Because that to me doesn't make a lot of sense. They could do any of those three things, and I wouldn't be that surprised at backup quarterback tomorrow. 803-0550 is the phone number. If you've got a thought on a trade idea or someone at the bottom of the roster that you're interested in, feel free to give us a call. 803-0550 is the phone number. It's Joe DiBiase. Jeremy White is off today. This is WGR.
We actually also have a present for you.
Oh, yeah, I've heard about this.
From Jesse Winker from the New York Mets.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Awesome.
Two Jets, good luck in the U.S. Open.
From one Bills fan to another. That's awesome.
This is sweet. Oh my God, this is so cool.
Jesse Winker got Jesse Pegula a gift. What was the gift?
It's a signed baseball bat.
Nice.
Jesse Winker from Buffalo.
Who hit a walk-off home run for the Mets last week.
Yeah, and then he like threw his helmet off and celebrated in front of the bench.
And Jesse Pegula, did she not just win a tournament? I thought she just won a tournament. Maybe I'm wrong on that. But the U.S. Open gets going for her tomorrow. The U.S. Open timing, I always get confused by it, because like her match is 9 p.m., but there's an asterisk on it. Asterisk on it, because I think it depends on how the matches go before her. I don't remember. So tomorrow at 9 is her current scheduled time for her first match in the U.S. Open. Still looking for her first major, right? Right? I don't think she does not have one. Her best result, I don't even think, she made a semi? She's made a semi in doubles. She's made the finals in doubles. Quarterfinals in each major, but I don't think I see even a semi. So we'll see. Maybe she could break through here and get her first major. That'd be a cool story. U.S. Open starts today, I think. She starts tomorrow. 803-0550 is the phone number on a hot... Is it muggy out there, too? It looks... It's like you can see the heat off the asphalt. Is it muggy out
there, too? Zach just got in. He said it's not muggy.
It's not muggy. Okay, well, that's fine. That's better. Okay, quick thing on college football. Is Deion Sanders becoming unlikable?
I think he kind of always has been.
He always has been?
Maybe.
I thought it was the opposite.
Since he got to Colorado, I think it's been since then. Because when he was at his other school, I can't remember the name of the school.
He was at Jackson State.
Yeah,
Jackson
but State. That was fun because it was this underdog story.
HBCU story. Yeah. It was cool.
But
cool.
Now it's like,
well,
I don't know. I don't really like him that
the
much.
The beginning of last year was cool. It was. I watched a Colorado State football game for no other reason than Colorado was a vibe. That game with all the celebrities on the sidelines, like The Rock was there. And now, Now what am I starting to get? I'm getting, I don't know, he's banning reporters now. He banned a reporter from the Denver Post because they criticized him. Is that kind of the story? Somewhat. Zach might come in here and inform me a little bit more. But there was also an assistant coach that there was a report about went to meet with the Saudi Arabians for like the Saudi investment fund, potentially coming on as an NIL deal with Colorado. There's all this stuff with Deion that is gone the other way from where I was a year ago with him. That is seemingly, maybe again, maybe it is media trying to make him out to be more unlikable, but I don't really get it. All right, Zach, where am I wrong on this? They did meet with the Saudi investment fund people.
That did happen.
That did happen.
It is a former coach now, I want to say. Okay. So like it didn't totally go through, but that also kind of feels the way that college football is going.
What about this
go.
Denver Post story, though?
The Denver Post story, I'm having a 50-50 feeling on it because a few weeks ago when he basically just wouldn't answer reporters' questions, this was sort of my takeaway of just take away their access. Instead of making this whole kind of sideshow about how you're not going to take their question or anything like that, that's fine. The reporter he ends up actually banning, it's more to do with like he was sort of taking personal attacks at Deion like in every one of his posts, using stuff like false prophet and all that stuff. So I can understand him not being there. I think really the problem is with Colorado and why they are unlikable is they went 4-8 last year, and for the first four games you would have thought they were national championship contenders. And then now going into this year, where they're not necessarily recruiting well, I've still got to hear about Colorado. Like, they'll probably win, like, 6-7 games. They might make a bowl game.
Right. Okay. But they're not going to be worthy of all the attention again.
Not a chance, no. They're only a 9.5-point favorite over North Dakota State at home. And while North Dakota State is a very good program in the FCS, that's not great.
If I know two things about college football, it is you never schedule a Dakota in week one. You also never schedule App State in week
one. This is correct.
Those are the two things. You don't schedule a Dakota and you don't schedule App State in week one. All right. So is he likable to you right now?
He's
like, I feel like I'm getting all these stories and I'm like, what are you doing?
He's likable in the sense that I like that he picked a team like Colorado.
It feels like he's trying to go to war with everybody.
It does, and that's where it kind of loses me, is it's like, all right, Deion, like, just pipe down. I think also, especially, too, like, I have this simmering feeling that, like, the moment Shadur, his son, and Travis Hunter, effectively his son, leave college, which will be after this year, he leaves Colorado. And it just kind of feels like he just wants to, like, coach up, like, the players he likes, and that's about it. I think that's where, like, I'm like, if you stick out with Colorado, I'm here. Like, I like it. But if it's just here so I can coach my son a little bit longer and essentially the player that most reminisces me, then I'm out.
And then he goes and coaches his son with the Dallas Cowboys.
And there we go.
Next year.
There we go.
Then Dak goes to the Giants, and there, boom, here's your NFL season opener. No, that's not your NFL season opener because one of those two teams then would have to win the Super Bowl. All right, well, thank you. We're caught up to speed. Now on all the Colorado stuff. Gerard Mayo just made a comment. We were talking about Drake May in the first segment of this hour, about whether he should start right away. Gerard Mayo kind of came right out and said it on the Greg Hill Show. He said, we got in at 4 a.m. Jacoby Brissett may come in here today and say his shoulder is no good, so I'm not going to go down that road. He said, what I will say is this is a true competition, and I would say at this point, Drake has outplayed Jacoby. So those are exact words. That's kind of definitive. Right there. Then he kind of, couched it with, well, we got to do it all the way back to the spring. We'll see where we end up. Those conversations the next couple of days. But he said the words, this is a true competition, and I would say at this current point, Drake has outplayed Jacoby. I think that's your decision. I think that's all she wrote. I think Drake May is your Patriots quarterback for week one.
Very refreshing, though, for a coach to kind of just, like, outright say it. Like, the plan going into this was Brissett's going to play week one or for however long, and May will sit.
Yes.
And for him to come out very candidly and go, no, May's outplayed him. Now he kind of tries to curtail it a little bit and go, well, we got to go back to the spring, which I find to be just ridiculous. Like, if the young guy has progressed to this point, you go with the young guy.
Yeah.
And you saw last night, May was making plays out of thin air, and he was getting called back on penalties and stuff like that. I mean, he looked great. And I don't hate how the Patriots are set up, at least on offense, to at least get something out of May. I don't think he's going to get, hamstringed early in his career.
I like some of the young receivers they have. Javon Baker, I guess, has looked shaky at camp at best. Polk, though, has looked very good. And also, like, just play the guy.
Yeah, that's where I might push back on that a little. Like, I think if I were New England right now, I would be worried about what's around him. I like the potential of those receivers, but I got, like, I look at look at the other rookie receivers right now. I think everybody's got a guy you know you can rely on.
Mm-hmm.
Jaden Daniels doesn't have much, but he's got Terry McLaurin.
Yeah.
He knows he's got a dude. And Bo Nix. Bo Nix has got Cortland Sutton. He knows he's got at least one guy. If I got to put the ball up somewhere, that guy's going to help me come down with it. Caleb Williams is everybody he needs, right? Who else? Who am I missing? Who's the other rookie quarterback? There's so many rookie quarterbacks this year. Penix isn't going to play. J.J. McCarthy, but he's out. Okay, so that's it. That's the end of the
list. But even then, if J.J. was playing, he has Justin Jefferson.
Right, exactly. So then you go to Drake May. Again, Javon Baker could be good, and Jalen Polk, he was the next receiver after Keon Coleman. He might be good, and I wouldn't be stunned. Hunter Henry is just like kind of the wash of himself at this
point.
Kendrick Bourne.
Is he even there?
I don't mind Kendrick Bourne, but I think he's still there. If I'm Drake May, it reminds me of the 2018 Bills, actually, a little bit.
I'm glad you brought that up because that was I heard you when I was driving in talking about it, and I was thinking back to 2018, like when, because I was somebody.
Allen had nobody.
And I was all for play the rookie. I've always been that way, and especially, you know, coming off the Peterman season, I was like, why are we doing this again?
Yeah.
But Kendrick Bourne is still there. He's hurt.
Thank you.
Okay. Oh, well, you also have Keyshawn Boutte.
LSU, not great. I mean, we're number seven. That's about it. But you look at that 2018 Bills team, I mean, they had to full-on do a 180 pivot midway through the season in terms of their wide receiver room because Calvin Benjamin wouldn't catch passes from Allen before a game.
Yeah.
And even before that, it wasn't great. I mean, Benjamin catches his first ever touchdown pass at the end of that Chargers game, but it's not great. It doesn't go well. I do look at that 2018 team. I think we probably would be having similar conversations we're having now about the Patriots of, like, are they setting him up to fail? Dable at that point was an unknown, and everything you looked at was not great success. McDermott's a defensive guy. Their number one receiver was Calvin Benjamin.
And for only half a year, and then they said, we can't do this anymore, and then it was Robert Foster.
Yeah.
Allen overcame all that right away, at least. Like, again, I mentioned this earlier. The Bills got there.
Mm-hmm.
They built the receiving core. They had the right coordinator. They did good. They did well enough on the line. Like, they got there. New England has to go the full distance, and that's hard. And you also need your quarterback to not get spooked, or I guess ruined is not what I want to go with here, but you don't want him to develop bad traits in year one.
Darnold's the perfect case for this, where eventually it was, I'm seeing ghosts.
Right.
He was so rattled by those first few years that everything was on super speed.
And this maybe isn't mentioned enough. Allen's rushing ability was so valuable and is so valuable today because of, we just see it, how important those plays are at the most important times. In year one, it allowed him to not just crater, right? It was everything for him because their line stunk. They were starting Vlad Dukas still on that offensive line.
What a name.
They had nobody that would get open, but they had a senator that was running around on the field out there that nobody could stop. It was jumping over people. He was running to the corner of the end zone. Allen running and creating with his legs, I think, probably allowed him to learn on the job more so than he would have been able to if he was a pocket guy. Now, the thing about Drake May, though, is while he's not Allen running the ball, nobody is, really. Man, he has a gear that you don't really think he has. There's a 3rd-and-14 play that I mentioned earlier yesterday in that preseason game where he's going to be real close to missing this first down, and he kicks it into high gear.
Mm-hmm.
And if you had never seen him play before, you would have no idea he had this much speed. Like, he's not Lamar, he's not even Kyler, he's not Allen, but he can move.
He is in almost like this weird kind of his own territory, I guess.
Yeah.
You saw it a little bit in North Carolina. I've talked a lot about May because I'm a May truther. He was my second quarterback in this class behind Williams.
Okay.
For me, it was a lot of just he was taking below average or just okay North Carolina teams. to levels that they shouldn't have been. I mean, his leading receivers were Josh Downs, and then the next year for half a season, Tez Walker. Okay. Both guys, not even debatably first-round picks, and they, I think, both go in the third round.
Yep.
He just makes plays. He just kind of wills himself to do it. And he is a big guy. He's 6'5", 225, what have you. He's got a bazooka of an arm. No, he's not Josh Allen running the ball, because I think you're spot on saying no one really is.
He might be top 10 right away, though.
But he is going to be able, good. I think, to survive a little bit of just like, is your first read not there? Go.
Right. It's not like Mac Jones, once year two and year three happened, and it was, hey, we don't have that much around you anymore. Year one, they had a little bit.
Yeah.
Then it was, we don't have much around you. He couldn't do anything.
No.
Drake May, it might be, if they get into the season and Polk and Baker are, they look like rookies and they don't have much else, and they go, hey, Drake, we don't really have a lot else around you. Drake May just looks like a player to me where he goes, I'm good.
Yeah, like, okay.
I'm fine. I'll create. Yeah. I'll create with my legs. I'll throw guys open because, man, he's got an arm. News in from the last minute from Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel, and this does matter because the Dolphins and Bills play in week two. Bradley Chubb, Isaiah Wynn, Cameron Good all will start the season on the PUP, which means they will miss the first 4 weeks. So Bills versus Dolphins in week two. The Dolphins will not have defensive end Bradley Chubb. They will not have guard Isaiah Wynn, who is a starter for them, at least on paper. No, he'll start for them no matter what, once he comes back. And then Good's a depth linebacker. Not on that list, though, is Odell Beckham, who is currently on the PUP. And then Jalen Phillips is not on that list, right?
Jalen Phillips, I do not believe, is on that list.
I can't believe, though, he would be back by week two, right? Doesn't that seem crazy?
That seems fast.
He tore his Achilles in week 16, 15, 16, something like that. We'll see, I guess, but maybe newsworthy that he is not listed here. But still no Chubb or Wynn, which are big losses for Miami when they play the Bills in week two. 803-0550 is the phone number. Extendo Sports, and we'll get you off the Extra Point Show coming up here on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here, guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Some news from Adrian Wojnarowski in the last couple of minutes. Cooper Flagg, Duke freshman, number one prospect in the 2015 NBA draft. This is the kid that was cooking the U.S. Olympic team in one of their scrimmages before. He has signed his shoe deal with New Balance. We have lived long enough to see both ASICS and New Balance become cool.
This is good. This is good. I like this.
Diggs actually has his own line of ASICS now.
Does he really?
Yeah. He has his own personal shoe with ASICS.
Oh, so they, like, it's become cool now. Like, it's not like just like sort of a joke, sort of not.
I think it's there. Von Miller was on the field. I don't think they were the Diggs ones. Von was on the field Saturday before the game with ASICS on.
All right.
And Von's pretty. All right. Von's pretty cool, I think.
Yeah, he's not the fashion guy that Diggs is. Like, Diggs hearing that, I'm like, okay, no. that's serious.
Right.
I don't know if this makes sense, but ASICS is the mom brand, New Balance is the dad brand.
Well, not anymore.
Well, okay, right. But it has been. When we were kids, no, it has been. That's what it felt like.
That's right, yeah.
But Cooper Flagg is looking to change that with New Balance. Is he going to be out there in the NBA court, though, wearing...
I hope so. If we're doing this, I hope so.
I want a New Balance shoe with a green tint to it, as if you just mowed the lawn, because that's
There we go, yeah,
hey,
yeah,
that'd be pretty that fits. Sweet.
It'll keep the dads involved.
Not even the NBA, by the way. He's going to be, I think, playing for Duke wearing them because NIL now exists. Very cool. College football first weekend a success.
Oh yeah, first game of the year was a huge upset.
Hawaii.
I was upset about that game. I thought that was going to be on like ESPN or something like that. I'm getting ready. I'm talking to my girlfriend. I'm like, we're going to have to stay up. Like, just be ready.
Hawaii
at midnight. I
check
what's on Spectrum Sports or whatever. And I'm like, I don't own that.
Tough.
Why did I stay up?
Yeah.
They didn't
even cover. Great first game, though. Georgia Tech and Florida State. Amazing game. All right. That's going to do it for us today. Jeremy back tomorrow. And stay tuned for the Extra Point Show on the way next. One day until cutdown day here on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.